The BBC presents My Music. A musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. And here's Steve Race to introduce the teams.
Here we are again, happy as can be, all good pals and jolly good value for the fee they give us. On my left, Frank Muir and David Franklin. On my right, Dennis Norden and Ian Watts. First round, then. Title and composer, please. And you'll find that the composer's name begins with G. David Franklin, here's your G composer.
This is a friend of Ian's.
Yes, it is.
This is one of the Russian composers that Ian knows. G for Glinka, the father of Russian music. Yes. And it's the overture to Ruslan and Ludmilla.
Perfect. 2 marks. Dennis Norden, who's this, please, and what? Dennis.
Grieg, Anitra's Dance, Peer Gynt's Suite, 3-piece covered in uncut moquette.
And do you agree with him? Well, you have 2 marks.
He tried to bluff us out of it for a moment.
Well, it's always worth a shot. Ian, no need to write this, just speak when you know. Who is the composer and what's the name of the piece? Pateado from Frank, and Ian will now tell us what it is.
That put me off a great deal, Frank's Spanish bit there.
No, from the north.
But I think this is a little bit of a double bluff here, because I think that's Grieg as well.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
No, no, no.
Oh, no.
No.
All we want is
oh,
a
no.
Any, how you
we know, we know.
Spanish
we want,
composer.
We want a Spanish composer now,
beginning
do we?
With G.
Not Grams.
Peter Grams, yes.
No, I'm
not,
I'm
not so great over as Grams, actually. Granados, the composer. Which part of Spain would you like to choose for the title?
Granada.
I do my level best for you, Indo time. It was Andaluza. Spanish dance, number 5 in E minor or playera by Granados. So I can't give you any marks.
No, that's weird. I won't hold it against you.
Oh, good, no. Or are you? Let's see how Frank gets on. Feeling your partner's no help on this one.
He's giggling and saying, Gajchowski. There's your musicologist for you. It's belly music, anyway.
That's a very good... Yeah. You've got a mark almost it's a composer you almost always mispronounce, I've noticed in the past.
That field is too wide. An overseas gentleman.
Yes.
Kuno? Yes. It's belly music from Faust.
That's one, Mark.
I thought... No. The dance from Faust goes... Faust, you put your tune in. This is the ballet, is it?
This is the ballet. And tell him it's Gounod, and he'll know who you mean.
Steve, it's Gounod.
Yeah.
Ballet music from Faust.
Yeah, ballet music from Faust is one mark, and you always say Gounod for some reason. This is Gounod, and you've got two marks. Why not? Very good. Well done. We move on to the next round. Let's see how you are on the musical repertoire in general. For two marks, David, which exhibition painting would be most welcome on a poultry farm?
This is a rather sleight of hand reference to Mussorgsky, isn't it?
That's
pictures
right.
From the exhibition.
Yes.
There's something about egg cackling, isn't there?
Nearly, yes. You've got the right one, the right movement.
What's it?
The ballet of.
Well, the ballet of the chickens.
No, it's earlier than that.
The ballet of the eggs.
You can't get earlier than that, otherwise you come back to chickens again.
Yeah. I must give you this because you did some very rapid detective work. It refers to pictures from an exhibition by Mussorgsky, The Ballet of the Unhatched Chicks. Dennis, who had a merry doll and a sad doll, and from whom?
Guys and dolls. The sad doll is Adelaide.
Oh, really? Adelaide.
This is yeah.
News to me, but go on.
And the merry one, I can't remember her name, but she sang, "If I was a bell, I'd be ringing."
No, we are adrift. It was Princess Elizabeth and Princess Margaret Rose who had a merry doll and a sad doll. Does that tell you the rest of it? Yes or no?
No.
It was Sir Edward Elgar who composed the nursery suite. He dedicated to the Princess Elizabeth, the then Princess Margaret Rose, the two daughters of the Duke and Duchess of York, who were in fact present at the first recording of his nursery suite. The two of the movements were called Merry Doll and Sad Doll. No marks, I'm afraid. Ian, yours is in three parts, really. Where would you find a furtive tear? Who shed tears for souvenirs and who let fall an itty-bitty tear?
Well, the first one was shed by a young chap called Nemorino in an opera called The Elixir of Love, or Elisir d'Amore, by Donizetti.
Thank you. Half mark each for those, total one.
What a lot of work for half a mark.
A lifetime's musical study.
Yes, absolutely.
The winning of half a mark.
It's only one of those lucky things I happen to have taken part in the opera at some point.
Were you the good dolly?
Do I look it?
Tears for souvenirs, Ian.
I think that's more likely to come from my partner here.
It's Ken Dodd.
Yes. Yes. Half a mark. And
itty-bitty tear I would have associated with Burl Ives.
That's right, for your other half. Total two. Thank you. Frank, what are Little Russian and Pathetic?
Virgin Sturgeon.
Tchaikovsky wrote a pathetic
symphony. Tchaikovsky's pathetic symphony.
Yes, that's one of them. Yes, and the Little Russian.
Another work of Tchaikovsky's.
Work of Tchaikovsky when young.
Well, well, when younger, certainly. Yes, Pathetic being his sixth symphony, and the Little Russian being his.
Well.
No. Yes.
Second.
Yes. His second symphony. Oh, I think you have two marks there. You've got that one. Right. Two out of two. Operas and what might laughingly be called their plots. Most operas are based on a literary work by someone other than the composer. Sometimes somebody quite famous. For instance, Othello was by Shakespeare, a well-known playwright. Long before it became an opera. David, the author or playwright, please, and the composer of Pelléas et Mélisande.
Composer is Debussy. Mm-hmm. The book, so to speak, was by Maurice Maeterlinck.
Thank you. 1 + 1 = 2. Dennis, the original author, please, and the composer of La Traviata.
Is that the one about the lady with the hacking cough?
it's one of the ones about the lady with the hacking cough.
La Boheme is another, isn't it?
La Boheme is another, but that's not
two operas I've dropped in. The Lady with the Camellias, La Dame aux Camélias,
yes,
by Alexandre Dumas. And it was written, and Verdi. Giuseppe Verdi.
Yes.
Or Joe Green.
Yes, that's right.
Dennis, I don't know if you remember, but years ago in Take It From Here, we wrote a joke that Verdi had to take somebody else's play because he knew demo about Camellia.
We also wrote a song about Verdi. Do you remember? Verdi Blue.
Ian, Salome, taken directly from
Oscar Wilde.
Yes, Oscar Wilde's play, and music by
Richard Strauss.
To Marks, Frank. The Moon and Sixpence.
The Moon and Sixpence didn't even know it was an opera. I knew the first act was made into an opera, the Sutney opera. It was Moon and Sixpence was a story by W. Somerset Maugham.
For a mark, and the composer?
John Gardiner.
Yes, not quite. Gardiner, there's no I in the name. He wrote the music for the opera, The Moon and Sixpence. And you have two marks. Let's move on. Film songs. The name of the song, please. The name of the film that it came from. And two stars from the film. David Franklin. They're going to get success here, I think.
The Sounders of the River, from the story by Edgar Wallace.
Well, I didn't ask that. The song,
what?
The name of the song.
What did you say?
Name of the song, please.
I was just telling you the story was from Edgar Wallace.
I wasn't asking.
No, but you see, Frank and I regard it as one of our functions gradually to increase the sphere of your knowledge.
My knowledge, yes.
And the star, that particular voice was Paul Robeson, and there was also in the film was Leslie
Banks. Yes.
Leslie Banks.
That's right, yes. Dennis, again, please. Song, film, and two stars.
Baby, you'll freeze out there.
Lend me your car.
It's up to your charming knees out there.
You've really been grand.
I'll when you touch my
hand. But don't you see?
How can you do this thing to me?
There's bound to be talk tomorrow.
People always talking.
At least there will be plenty in
what
life.
What if you've got pneumonia?
I ought not to say that I can
it. It comes from an Esther Williams picture.
Yes, that's got you a half a mark for Esther Williams.
I can't remember the name of it.
You know the name of the song for a mark, don't you?
Baby, It's Cold Outside.
Yes, that's right.
She was a sort of wet Doris Day.
Yeah.
Who?
That was what her director said about her, actually. She's great when she's wet. Yeah.
Whose offspring would you expect her to be?
Whose offspring? Oh, is it? Oh, what a very good clue. Yes, it's very crossword. Neptune's daughter.
Neptune's daughter, yes. I think half a mark, don't you, Al?
I think you take a mark.
And you've got Esther Williams, and I want one more star, please.
That was the one she did with Red Skelton.
Yes, Red Skelton. You've got 2.5 out of 3. Well sorted out, Dennis, that was. Ian, what's this?
You belong to
me. No, you were meant
for me. Meant for me. And I was meant for you.
One mark, the film and the stars.
Singing in the Rain.
We're wet again.
Yes, we are, aren't we? Yes.
Singing in the Rain.
I heard what your partner said, Singing in the Rain. Yes. A couple of stars.
Gene Kelly.
Gene Kelly for one, yes. Another one.
Donald O'Connor.
Donald O'Connor.
Yes.
I've got a marvellous answer service here.
Yes, yes.
Debbie Reynolds, Gene Hagen played the film star. Do you remember the marvellous...
I can't stand it. Yes, that's right. You've got 3 out of 3. I thought Dennis might also add the gratuitous information that that same song appeared first in Hollywood Review of 1929.
Written by Herb Nacio Brown.
Yeah, right. Nacio Herb Brown.
No, Nacio Herb Brown. Yeah.
You've got 3 anyway. Frank, do you know this?
So anytime you get low, still letting go, just remember that there goes another rubber tree, just loves another rubber tree. There goes another rubber tree plant.
It was originally sung by Frank Sinatra.
Yes.
I'm on my own here.
You are?
It was Bing Crosby. We won't ask that, unhappily. And I might as well have the Archbishop of Canterbury sitting next to me. For all the help I'll get on films of the 40s.
I have considerable optimism that you might get the title of the song.
Oh, it's... Oh, no, it's another lovely man. Oh, has he got one of these odd titles which doesn't come in the...
I've just given you the father and mother of all clues. Considerable optimism, I said. I can't give you any more, can I?
No.
High Hopes is the title of the song.
Was it the title of the film?
Hole in the Head was the title of the film.
How very apt.
You opt Frank Sinatra for half a mark. Can you essay another star from Hole in the Head?
Lassie.
Not quite.
I bet there's a cute little girl in it.
Not quite. The other stars of the film, Edward G. Robinson, Eleanor Parker, Carolyn Jones, Thelma Ritter was in it, also Keenan Wynn. Let's move on. Composers and their lives. And there are 4 marks available here to each of you. David, this man was called to the bar in 1885. His first song was What Will You Have to Drink? He married an Edwardian star and composed the music for 2 famous musical comedy girls. Can you please name the man, his wife, and the 2 girls?
The man was Lionel Monckton.
One, yes. His wife?
Tempted to say that his wife was Phyllis Monckton, but I don't think that's true.
No. Edwardian.
2 of the shows that he wrote.
The 2 girls.
2 girls,
yes.
Whom he wrote.
Yes. The Something Girl and the Something Else Girl.
Oh. Was one of them the Gaiety Girl?
No, unfortunately, no.
Mm-hmm. Good to hear.
I have to tell you, won't I, the shows were The Country Girl and The Quaker Girl, and you don't know the name of Lionel Monckton's wife, then, in real life?
No. Mrs. Monckton.
Very famous Gertie Miller. Gertie Miller was the wife. So that's 1 out of 4, and we move on to Dennis Norden. Dennis, this chap published over 200 songs, some of them still among the world's favourites, but he was a drunkard, a spendthrift, and he died a pauper aged 37. Who was he, and can you name 3 of his songs?
Oh, did they make a not terribly outstanding film about him called Swanee River?
They did. So
Stephen Foster.
1 mark, yes. 3 songs.
Well, Swanee River.
Yes.
Way Down a Pond.
That's the same mark.
Yeah.
Genie with the Light.
Old Folks at Home.
Yes.
And Genie with the Light.
Yes, well, only Swanee River is Old Folks at Home, so that's only, only 2 out of 3. Yes,
well, there's Beautiful Dreamer.
Yes, that'll do
beautiful
nicely.
Beautiful Awaken to the Swanee River Old Folks.
You'll have 4 out of 4. Also, Susanna, My Old Kentucky Home, Genie with the Light Brown Hair, Old Black Joe, Camp Town Races, and others. Ian, his professional life as a pianist ended when he dislocated his fingers using a device of his own invention. And I can only tell you it wasn't funny for him. Anyway, that's it again. He turned to composing but became mentally unstable, throwing himself into the Rhine at the age of 44. Who was he? The full name, please. What was his wife's profession? And who was her lifelong composer friend?
Would it be...
Yes.
Schumann.
Yes, you're right. His first name, please, for your second mark.
Robert.
Robert Schumann gets you 2 out of 4. Now, his wife's name, his wife's profession, please, and who was her lifelong composer friend?
I don't know her profession, no.
Try, have a shot at the composer.
Oh, Brahms.
Brahms is right. Her profession, Clara Schumann, piano teacher. One of the greatest piano teachers of the 19th century, really. 3 out of 4. Frank.
Teaching pianos.
They met, Frank, in 1920 and teamed up on behalf of a project for Columbia University. For 5 years, their work was rejected and they considered going back to their former jobs, which were as a translator and the other as a children's underwear salesman. Who were they, what was their first work together, and what split them up?
Is one a composer and one a lyricist?
Yes.
Rodgers and Hart.
Yes, you've got two out of four already. What was their first work together, and
was
what
their first
split them up?
I think death split them up.
Yes, Hart's death in 1943. That gets you a mark. I'm not sure their first song together wasn't their best, frankly. It's one of the ones I like best.
I have no idea what the first was.
Manhattan.
Yeah.
You've got three out of four. Right, so we go on to our next round. This is where Messrs. Daly and Chin come in, keyboard music purveyors. And they begin to play some old favourites, and we ask you to continue the song. Three marks available here, and here's the first from Dave.
To go 3-4 across the wide Missouri.
Thank you, sir. Yeah. Three marks, a fair treat from David Franklin. Here's a song from Dennis Norton.
What did I do?
Got it.
What?
Oh, dear. I've got a frog in my throat. Shut up and let the frog sing. I've missed it again.
You're driving me crazy. What did I do? What did I do? My love for you makes everything hazy, turning the skies of blue.
Then it goes terrible. It goes... The things are near us and cheer us and beer us and whatever you do to hurt me, desert me, when I needed you.
You're driving me crazy.
This is the song you can say to somebody, do you know a song called You, You're? If they say no, you sing, you're driving me crazy. Have you had enough? Because I have.
When he comes to singing, he's a man who doesn't know fear, isn't he?
Well, you don't,
he just doesn't know the meaning of the word. Three marks, Dennis.
This is going to be issued in LP form.
here's the real singer
music
of the bunch.
Music for breaking a lease by.
Here's some singing from Ian Watts.
Warb, Geordie and Bob Johnson were lying in one bed in a little lodging house that's down the shore. Before he'd been an hour asleep, a kick from Geordie's foot made him waken up to roar instead of snore. Keep your feet still, Geordie Hinny, let's be happy through the night, for I may not be so happy through the day. So give me that bit comfort, keep your feet still, Geordie lad, and divn't drive me bonny dreams away, dreams away.
Three marks and a song from Frank.
And make a tree.
And that's the end of the game, I'm afraid. A victory this week for Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton by two marks. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were David Franklin, Frank Muir, Dennis Norden, and Ian Wallace. At the keyboards were Graham Daly and Bernard Chin, and the chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Edward J. Mason, and the program was produced in London by Tony Schreier.